guns. I like the way they look. I like the shiny steel and the polished wood. I don't care if they're big or small. They're for sale. Hell, I want them all. I like guns. I like guns. I like guns.
Hello, and welcome to New Shooter Canada. Our goal is to inform, update, and entertain the new shooter about the many fun and exciting aspects of sports shooting in Canada. Please remember that the show's content is simply the opinions of the hosts and our guests. And remember what they say about opinions. Everybody has one. So without delay, let me introduce our hosts, George Hatch and Tom Donnelly.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to New Shooter Canada. We are Georgeless tonight, so let me introduce myself. I'm your co-host, Tom Donnelly, and this is my co-host...
Kelly Lynn, how you doing?
Pretty good, Kelly. And we also have a third co-host tonight, because you can tell George hasn't made it, so we'd like to introduce John. John, introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm John Fitzgerald.
Welcome to the show, John, and thank you for stepping in at the last-minute notice. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
So what we did with guns this week, what have you did with guns this week, John?
Well, I had a fun-filled week with guns. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I was practicing my marksmanship skills with a Ruger Mark III at the range. And following the advice that you'd given me previously, Tom, so we were doing that. And then Thursday, I decided to try something different, so I was practicing the shotgun. So I had a really busy week shooting this week.
What kind of shotgun were you using?
I was using a Remington 870.
Just doing drills or just...
Yeah, I was doing some drills, learning some drills. So it was interesting. It's never having shot a shotgun before. It was quite the experience.
How was it?
You know, it started off, you're a little intimidated at first being a new shooter. And then once you actually learn how to use it correctly and hold it correctly, it's really fun. Actually, I really enjoyed the shotgun. So
yeah, once you learn how to work with the roll with the recoil, and as long as you're shooting like 2 3/4 inch light loads, they're fun. It's when you start shooting heavier stuff that can be a little painful.
We were just shooting target loads, so it's okay. We were able to the man up and handle it. So
anything else?
Not a thing.
Okay.
Well, I was supposed to go to our club Orson match this weekend. And, nothing worked last week. First of all, I'm not even going to read from my notes. I'm so ticked off at myself. A month ago, I messaged Terry, and I said, I want this Vortex Spark. They had it in stock at Bass Pro. I said, order this for my birthday. This is what I want. She said, you sure? I said, yeah, okay. I'll order it for you. So come my birthday, I'm waiting. I didn't get a Vortex Spark. Well, apparently, she didn't order it. So I was kind of ticked off. I thought, okay. So I'll go over to East Hill Outdoors, a new gun shop near me. Drove over there. They don't have any back ordered. I called John Williams Arms. He said, nope, the Vortex rep was just in. You just missed him. They're on back order. So John's got one put away with me. So I didn't get the red dot to put on my 22 for my birthday. I was ticked off at that. But, you know, it happens. And then every year that I've put in my renewal for my Pell, I've gotten it back in 1 week. The last 2 years, I got my Pell back in 1 week, which is amazing. So this year, I put it in 8 weeks before it expired. I got it on the 18th. I got it three days before my birthday. Well, the problem is that since it expired and the club hasn't issued my ATT because they didn't have my current license, I don't have an ATT. So I couldn't go shooting up at the club horse and match even if I wanted to. So I figured, you know what? Terry's got an ATT. I can take Terry up to the Orson match. So she said, yeah, no problem. So I get everything loaded up, ready to go, and I realize she's watching TV. Well, it's the Indy 500 race on Sunday, and she already watched all the qualifying. She's a big Indy fan. So I said, you know what? I don't think we should go shooting today. You should watch the Indy 500. So I let her stay home and watch the race, and I didn't do any shooting this weekend.
So that's you're a good man.
Well, I was kind of selfish dragging her up there, but in the end, I felt guilty. And I figured, okay, watch your race. But that's the advantage of having a spouse that has restricted firearms, is that you can transport each other guns to the range. And hopefully this week, if the legislation passes, I won't need the stupid ATT anyway.
Right. But we don't know what happened, right? John, you were saying that you were listening to it at work.
I was watching it at work,
and they were
still debating it when I left work. So I really couldn't tell you how it turned out, but I really hope it goes through quickly because I've been in the ATT mode also waiting for probably, we're going on 13 weeks now. I've been waiting for my ATT.
Yeah, the CFO said they couldn't find the application that the club sent in. So apparently the club sent in a second application for your ATT?
Correct. And someone I'm a member with at the club also, who joined at the same time, called in and they still said they did not have the ATT application yesterday.
Wow.
On Friday, sorry.
Makes you wonder who's responsible there. Is the executive or is it the CFO?
Well, I can tell you, I know it was submitted because I have seen the confirmation where it was sent to them. So we'll just say maybe they might be having some computer issues
What I discovered with the CFO is that when somebody's on holidays there, somebody else doesn't do the paperwork. It gets left. So you could be sitting on somebody's desk who's on vacation. That happens around Christmas time. You put stuff through. You put it through before Christmas, you'll get it the same day. If you get close to Christmas, you're not going to get it till after the holidays.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. There's no reason.
People need to go on vacation.
Yes. So what about you, Kelly? What did you do with guns this week?
This weekend we spent most of the weekend depriming or decapping both 9mm and 232. We had a whole sandbag full of stuff. Yep. What did I say?
232. 223?
Yeah. Yep. Sorry.
Yeah, we're okay. We may have a wildcat rifle. We don't know about it.
So we did that. He also picked up a new sonic cleaner as well. So we did both sonic cleaning and tumbling. So they look pretty. We also went out on yesterday morning, actually, and we went to the Brockville Fish and Gun Club, and we did a fun shoot there. It was rimfire, and it was standing position, so we did it both at the 25 and the 50-yard line. 50-yard line? It sounds like I'm actually playing football, doesn't it? So 25 and 50 yards. I was the only girl on the firing line, but there was about 12 other participants, so that was really good for Brockville. Guys were great. They were really nice and friendly to me. I finished in the middle of the pack. I had a bit of ammo issues. I had a double feed in a timed round, so if I didn't have that, I probably would have finished quite a bit higher up in the pack, but it was actually really fun. I enjoyed the day, even though I had some issues with the ammo.
Using your 10/22?
Yep, the Ruger 10/22. So, they had some questions about it because it looked like it wasn't really a rimfire and all that. But once they started looking at it, they actually thought it was pretty cool. I said it was pimped out. Yeah, because it's got a barrel shroud. It's got everything, right? It's got the ATI. We changed out everything on it. So
you were fully tactical.
Yeah.
It looks cool. It looks cool.
Yeah.
Cool
yeah.
as everything.
And you didn't have a choice about taking the optics off when you're cleaning it because Kevin sent me a picture of the stock.
Yeah.
You have to take it off in order to disassemble the rifle.
Right. So the one thing that I did find is before I actually cleaned it, when I was doing doing a mag change, and I have the extra lever on the mag release, the factory mag would just drop out of it. It was very clean. And so when I did the shooting here at the Brockville rifle range on yesterday, I had the factory mag in it and it wasn't dropping out cleanly like it was previous to cleaning it. So I have to see if I can do something about that.
One message I have learned from listening to the show from Tom is do not remove your scope when cleaning. Do not remove your scope from cleaning. I think I hear it every time I've logged on recently and listened to the podcast.
Well,
yeah.
Unfortunately, Kelly didn't have a choice in the matter. That's the way her gun's set up. I just thought it was funny when George kept telling me he had to recite his rifle like, every time he cleaned it. Why are you having to recite your rifle? Well, because I take the scope off. I just think it's funny, that's all.
Yeah, no, it's not actually all that much fun when you have to keep reciting it.
No, be pain in the butt.
Yeah.
But the gun
But
looks cool.
yeah,
Did you
it's
look at
good.
any of those Boyd stocks that I was showing you?
There was someone actually who had one there. It was really cool. It was yeah. I think it'd be a good option, but hey.
I think with the Boyds, because I've been looking at one too, is because they're under $100, you can export them into Canada. So it's a nice option, and they're for $100, a great deal.
They're really nice looking though, too. Like as I said, there was one guy there that had one, and okay, we were talking about the pink guns last week, but his was a purple and the purple gray version of it. It was really cool.
They have a great selection of colors when you're
Yeah.
looking, like colors you wouldn't even imagine. It's pretty cool.
Yep.
Well, the laminates really allow you to play with the color schemes. Let's see what we're going to do in guns in the news. There wasn't a lot in the news the last week.
No, there wasn't, was there?
I know we were talking earlier about John, about you used to have to be able to in Ontario. In order to take transport, if you went to the store to buy a restricted firearm, they wouldn't give you an ATT to take it home unless you belong to a gun club. And Alberta's going through the same thing right now, apparently. Their CFO is forcing people to belong to a gun club before they issue an ATT. And in Ontario, for some reason, after losing a court battle a couple times, the CFO in Ontario at least has changed their mandate. And if you have a restricted status, you can purchase a restricted firearm. They will give you an ATT to take it home because it was apparently two different court challenges. They lost both times.
It's pretty funny because that you say that I'm picking up a P226 tomorrow, SIG, and I was asked for my gun club.
And what did you
So
tell him?
I told him I'm a member of two. Which one would you like to choose? Because for me, I really didn't know they had lost, being a new shooter, that they'd lost that challenge in the court system, so.
Well, they don't publish it. I actually was listening to an episode of, I think it was Reload Radio with David Bilofsky, and he mentioned the comment. And then there was a prior, when he was doing some research, he found a prior incident as well with a response from the CFO not to challenge it in the court files. So it's interesting how they sort of hushed it up. They're not denying you, but they're not admitting that they're doing it either. But hopefully the new CFO of Ontario is pretty decent. I haven't had any dealings with him. I haven't heard any issues with him. What can happen a lot of times, I'm not sure if we, George and I talked about this before, if you don't belong to a club and you don't have a long-term ATT, but you've got a restricted firearm sitting at home, you still need a place to shoot. Like you can go as a guest to your friend's place, but there's not a lot of options out there right now, and the waiting list for some of these clubs is 2 years.
Yeah, it's
I,
quite long in
it
some of
is,
them.
it is pretty long.
Yep.
I know that Target Sports did have a program where they do have an in-house training on the weekend to introduce new shooters to shooting sports. So if you don't own a gun, you can actually take a course. I believe it's $50 or $60. Don't quote me on the price. You'll get some in-house training, and then you'll get some live fire with their guns, and you basically just buy the ammo off them. But I didn't realize that they also have a program too, where if you have a firearms license but you don't have an ATT, I think it's Monday to Friday off peak hours, and you contact them first, you can get a short-term ATT to Target Sports, and you can shoot your gun up at the target range. I think they want $42 for the day. They don't have guns per se that they rent, but they do let you use some of their firearms under the condition that you use their factory ammo if you want to test them. And I think, trying to remember the prices, like box of nines were like $30, box of 45s like $45. It's more than retail pop, but you're using their guns on it. So you don't have a place to shoot, and you've got a new restricted firearm that you're itching to try. Maybe contact Target Sports. We'll put a link up in the show website. Only a couple things they specified is that you can't use your own reloaded ammo in their guns. You have to use your ammo. But give them a call if you're looking for a place to shoot and you don't have any options available to you. Check them out. Their web address is www.targetsports.ca, and we'll put a link in the website if you want to check them out. I believe it's also home to Gormley Range. There is a club in there as well because they have two ranges. One is strictly for rentals, I believe, for different security companies to use it. And then the other range is exclusively for members. They are having some range maintenance ongoing right now, so before you make any plans, give them a call just to verify what ranges are open and if it's still available while the updates are going on at the club. And story two was George, but George isn't here, so we're going to skip story two.
Yeah, and we'll go to story three.
We'll go to story three with Kelly about some stuff happening with the RCMP.
Okay, so this was about a week and a half ago. It was the newspapers and on CBC and that as well. The news, RCMP have been charged with 4 labor code violations. This is in regards to what happened. It was actually on June 4th of last year. So I'll read you what I've got here about it. So nearly a year after 3 RCMP officers were murdered in Moncton, the police force has been charged with 4 labor code violations in relation to the incident. As Constables Doug Lesarche, Fabrice Giovedin, and Dave Ross. I think I need Jazz on this to help me with the names. I'm sorry. And Dave Ross were murdered. And Constables Eric Dubois and Darlene Gauguin were wounded. So any time a federal government employee dies on the job, Employment and Social Development Canada investigates. The investigation alleges that there were violations of the code relating to the force's equipment, training, and the supervision. And this led to the Public Prosecution Service of Canada recommending that the RCMP be prosecuted for contravention of the occupational health and safety provisions of Part 2 of the Canada Labour Code, specifically 4 counts under Section 148.1 of the Canada Labour Code. So a spokesman for the Mounted Police Association of Canada, his name is Rob Kressner, said better training and equipment should have been could have lowered the death toll that day. He stated that the RCMP have never been properly funded for equipment and training and were severely under-resourced in terms of the right numbers across the country. There's a pretty good evidence that one of the officers, if they had carried a C8 carbine, a patrol carbine, that was recommended after the inquiry into the 2005 deaths of 4 RCMP officers in Mayerthorpe, Alberta. We all remember that. If one of the officers had carried the C8 patrol carbine that was recommended, he probably could have shot the gunman from a greater distance rather than driving up close to him and getting shot. So basically, the RCMP have now been charged with the 4 labor code violations. What are you guys' thought on that?
So they're getting nailed for not providing the proper safety equipment that they needed, basically.
Mm-hmm. Because there was a lot of recommendations that were put out after the investigation into the Mayerthorpe, Alberta.
And they never followed up on it.
No, so senior management never actually followed up. They never actually provided the training. They never provided the firearms that were recommended as well.
That's a shame. Those guys need the tools to do the job properly.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was about a week and a half ago that came out, and we just wanted to touch on that. Yeah.
Well, we were going to talk about last week's show, but we passed on it because we figured, well, because everything was happening out in New Brunswick, the Slam Power guys might pick it up, so we didn't do it. Well, they didn't pick it up. They did something else, so we put it back in the show notes.
Right. So they covered some other things, so we thought it was important to talk about that because they need to be actually equipped with it's kind of crazy the fact that they don't have the equipment needed, and quite honestly, some of the criminals out there have better equipment than our police forces do.
A lot of them have better equipment.
Yep.
That's when they're not stealing the RCMP's equipment.
Yeah. Well, quite honestly, the criminals I know of this firsthand. Not that I'm a criminal, but. but where they're getting their firearms and things, a lot of the guys are what they do is they actually break into homes, and that's what they're looking for, is they'll be looking for your firearms, right? And stealing those. It's cheap for them. So if you have your guns and that, lock them up and don't advertise that you have them.
It's
That's
best.
my advice.
Yeah, best.
So,
Good
right.
advice.
Yep. Okay. So, why don't we cover our main topic
Main
then?
topic this week. Well, I think is a lot of people are aware of. The NFA had their annual AGM this weekend in Quebec, and we have John with us because John attended the events, and he's maybe just going to recap some of the stuff that had happened. I know there was a lot of anticipation that there might be some changes that were going to take place, but things seem to be back at a stalemate. What's your interpretation of what happened this weekend, John?
This weekend, the meeting, the general meeting is always about people coming together, the membership to get together, discuss like topics, make the decisions for what the organization is going to do going forward. And this weekend, a committed group of members showed up and wanted to voice their concern about how the organization was progressing in the Canadian firearms community. So it was a large turnout. We had over 100 people in attendance that came to participate in this event. So it was I would say a rambunctious event. There's a lot of concerned people there that came to voice their opinion. And we tried to voice our opinion as a group. We submitted 10 motions for the membership to be considered, and all of them were denied by the chair. So did we get action? No. Immediate action, no, but we've laid the groundwork for change. And coming in the future, I think we're going to see change. We're going to see it back to a member-driven organization where the voice of the members is heard and respected. And that's a goal of the, I think the goal of most members is to have an organization that listens to them.
So
And
five directors put in motions, and Sheldon refused to hear the motions at the AGM.
it wasn't five directors. It was 10 people, members, active members from the floor that stood up and presented these motions.
Okay.
And one of these members is Pierre Plourde, who's a barrister. And unfortunately, when he presented his motion, the chair asked to have him removed from the meeting, the annual general meeting.
Was he not a member?
He is a paid member. And Claude Coguin, who's a director from Quebec, stood up and said he's a member and he has his rights. And so it was about asserting the rights of members. That it's not an organization solely run by a group of individuals. It's an organization that is there to represent the members and fight for Canadian firearms owners and fight for our rights. And unfortunately, the chair and a certain group of directors doesn't see it that way and doesn't respect the members' right to have a voice. And they had no intention of giving us a voice, in my opinion, this is just mine, from what I saw being there actively on the floor.
So 10 motions were submitted.
Submitted for on behalf of the members from members
Members,
across Canada.
right.
Now, are the motions as part of the NFA's bylaws?
Yes, they are. They were,
Are the members allowed to submit motions at the AGM?
as far as I am exactly aware, and I can't quote you the exact bylaws, but if you go to NFA Reloaded, you'll see the posts and that. And there's a, like I said, Pierre Plourde, who's with the members that submitted these motions, is a barrister. And they're follow under Robert's rules and also the bylaws of the organization. So 10 members from across Canada submitted their motions. Other members seconded it from the general community. And then a vote was taken in the meeting, the show of aye or nay for the motion, and all the motions passed
Okay.
with a majority. So,
And
but unfortunately, they were not recognized by the chair. And that is unfortunately a sad thing when it's an organization's driven by its members.
that's sad. That's sad.
Now we had talked about how the NFA, in order for us to actually have, we need somebody who is a voice for their members, right? Somebody who could speak eloquently about what's needed, what we want as well.
Definitely, they need a leader, not a controller like Mr. Mr. Sheldon. Well,
and you meet when you're out there, there's a lot of great people on the board of directors I've met, and there's a lot of people willing to step up to go on the board of directors. And, you know, our sport is, it gives a perception of being mostly male dominated. And right now, currently, there's two female members on the board who have done a great job looking out for members' rights and standing up for them and trying to make it a more inclusive organization. And
now, do we have two women directors in Ontario?
We have one in Ontario and we have one in Alberta, Erica Clark in Alberta and Darlene from Ontario. And currently there's an election coming up and we're going to try to have get another woman, female elected.
Excellent. Excellent.
And she's what we really need in the organization. She's a person that has worked for a nonprofit, understands what's needed to interact with the government and to drive our sport forward and protect our I would say rights, but I've been no, it's a privilege in Canada. It's not a right like in the States. So we'd like to make it a right. We'd like to see long term a right. It's a right to own a firearm in Canada, not a privilege.
Well, what did the Premier said? He said it's a responsibility. Did he not on his last little news quote? So
yeah, he did.
It is a responsibility. You know, the other side of the spectrum may say that it's a privilege, but it would be definitely to see a very capable woman representing us in Ottawa too, because we have two great ladies already. Like Eric is a super, and Darlene is just a little fireball. I wouldn't want to mess with Darlene.
And out west, Erica has a women's shooting event for women only to introduce women to the sport coming up shortly here.
I saw that. We put a link on our website, I believe. And I think my sister and her friends are going to that, so that should be fun.
So we'll get a first-hand report back on it. So no, I went to Quebec City with this person. I spent a lot of time driving with this person in a car and really getting to know the person. And Tracy Wilson's her name, and I really believe that she is something we need in Ontario and in the organization to move us forward, because I said she's from a nonprofit. She understands members. She's one of the largest nonprofits in Canada she's involved with. So hopefully the next time we talk, we'll be celebrating that we have another woman in a position of shooting in an organization that's there for our rights as firearms owners.
And she's a hunter too.
Oh, she's an avid hunter.
Yeah, she's a big hunter.
And her daughter, she's in the sport at 12 years old, is an avid hunter too. So, and also she's not only a hunter, she's actually started in the pistol sports from talking with her in the car. So she's really saw another side from, she started in hunting and now she's moved into other avenues of the shooting sports. So really to have a person understanding.
So when's the election?
The tentative date from what I know, it will be in November.
Okay.
So I'm sure you'll be seeing it coming up and we'll be talking about it more right. Going forward.
Now, a lot of people were talking about voting by proxy at the AGM. I'm assuming that they'll be able to actually vote by proxy in the November elections as well.
I'm not sure if a proxy is going to be required. The ballots distributed to all members in the NFA. There's a couple types of members in the NFA. There's a voting group of members, from what am I mm-hmm. aware of, and this is just my conceptual understanding. And then there's a group of members that are members of the NFA do that are as associate members from the club. So
okay.
So the voting members will be receiving a ballot, and they'll be able to pick their next director.
I think Tracy would be good at it. I've talked to her a few times on Facebook over the years, and she's a very competent person.
Very competent. And like we said, we had discussions about what we need to be doing. And one thing we discussed as a group while we were traveling and in Quebec, meeting lots of different members, is we have to bring new shooters into the sport. And one area that's been largely ignored is the female population. And I think, I don't know if it's intimidating. Kelly, you can answer this about becoming a shooter more so than mm-hmm. I can. What's your take on the getting more women into the sport?
I think that actually it's a little intimidating at first. But once you get there, women are intimidated by the power or the thinking that it's going to, the rifle will kick back, or they won't be, you know, accepted into whether it's the shooting. Okay, so if it's a little intimidating.
There's a lot
right?
of fear. Like the media really generates a lot of fear into the sports. And I usually find I purposely try to introduce women as new shooters to the sport, and it's just the initial fear, because even right up going to the firing line, until they actually fire those first couple of shots, and they become comfortable with it, there is that natural fear where guys tend to have more of a macho attitude, and they go in with I can do it, and the girls are like, no, I want to go into where I can do it properly.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. I was going to say that guys go in and they're, sorry guys, not as safe, do you know what I mean? And girls are intimidated, and they want to start out slow and small, and they will want to know how to do it correctly so they don't screw it up. And
yeah, on average. I think
women accept instruction much better than a male does. And from my experiences being a new shooter myself, watching them, they progress much quicker than myself, the people I've been in classes with, because I think they have a willingness to accept instruction better than a man, and that's because of the machoism, which you're referring to previously.
Well, one thing I've noticed, too, is that if the man has a little bit of practical experience and the woman has zero, when they both go into the same situation, I find the females really want to listen and they really want to do well. And they pay attention to 100% of everything, where the guys tend to take out what they think they don't need. So I find, as students, I find women tend to have better retention of what you teach them, and they apply it.
Right.
That's just my general observation.
I agree.
Yeah, he's back.
Hi, George.
I was just waiting for the train of thought to finish before I jumped in.
So also, at the AGM, John, a lot of it was videotaped, but there is an ongoing court issue going on with all the directors in the NFA. So a lot of stuff that did happen, we can't talk about because it's confidential and it's before the courts right now. But the one thing I thought was funny is that Sean actually posted up on Facebook, he renewed his NFA membership through a corporate name, but it had his name on it. So he was a valid NFA member. And when he showed up at the AGM, they wouldn't let him in.
That's correct. He was there to show his support for the firearms community, which he showed time and time again. And he came and to be a part of it, to be a member, and to show his continued support, even though he's not on the executive. And that was really, really big for us as members to see Sean there standing side by side with us.
I think it's really disgusting that they wouldn't let him in. They gave him the membership. He is a paid member. He has just as much right to be anybody in there. I would have given anything to sit there and see the look on Sheldon's face if Sean was in the front.
Well, it would have been priceless.
It would have been
as
nice.
They say.
It would have been nice.
No, and the members really—that's what we said earlier. It's this organization, any organization, is driven by members, and Sean's a member, and he should have had the same rights as any member.
Yeah, and no matter what he's gone through, he's still up there and he's still fighting for everybody. So.
And that's why we presented the motions, because we're fighting for members. We're fighting for the voices of the members, much like Sean's fought for the firearms community. We're fighting for the voices of all the members to be heard. And Sean is a member, and that's not right. He did not have the opportunity to come in and be heard as a member.
Well, even the members that were inside the AGM were not given the opportunity to be heard. They were just dismissed.
And that is correct. We were not allowed to talk. We were ruled out of order every time we tried to present a motion. We continued on with that motion. We also changed the chair. We presented a motion to change the chair to Claude Coguin. And unfortunately, that was not even respected. So it's a...
Well, at least it's all on videotape. So when it does go to court, the judge will see actually what was happening.
And that's our goal, to restore the NFA to what it was meant to be a member-driven organization, to go out and fight for our rights as firearms owners and to put the message out there. And I think no compromise is you hear it a lot, and I think it's... No compromise is taken in the wrong way by some people. And my take of no compromise is we cannot compromise our values and our beliefs. And as a firearm owner, our belief is we have the right to own a firearm and use it in a way we see fit to use that doesn't endanger someone, that's responsible. You use it responsibly in that. And so my vision of no compromises. And I think that's what a lot of the members, when you see on the, you'll see people yelling, talking and saying no compromise. It's about not compromising our right to be firearms owners and use them responsibly. We're allowed to purchase a firearm, yet there's so many restrictions put on us.
There should be no compromise. I've had it. I've actually absolutely had it the way things are going.
And it's a sad thing. And it's someone said it's about a pie. You have a full pie, and you give away a part of your pie to make someone else happy. But then, in the end, if you keep giving away parts of your pie, in the end, you're only left with crumbs. And we don't want to be left with crumbs as firearms owners.
Well, that's why people have to get out there. They have to get involved. They have to get active in their local organization. And be honest with you, I do not belong to the NFA. I don't think any of us do. Do you belong to the NFA, George?
My membership's expired, and then when all of this kind of blew up on Facebook, I kind of held back on renewing. There was a video up of the AGM. I'm not sure if you guys covered this or not. And I couldn't even get in past the one-minute mark. It was the video. I'm not sure who was at the podium, but you could see Sheldon in the background, and everyone was kind of crowding the podium and coming to the front and all shouting. And I went, this is a joke. This is ridiculous.
Well, so I'll put that into context for you, because I being there right on the floor, what happened was a member presented a motion, and he did not want to listen to it. And then he was attempting to eject the members from the meeting, paid members. And the members were wanting to hear their voice heard. And unfortunately, that's where people move forward that show the support for the motion, show the support for the five directors that are standing up for the rights of firearms owners. Those are the five members that stood and said, we need change. We need our members heard. We need to be transparent to our members. We need them to be a part of this organization. I understand, as maybe a non-member or a member that's not actively involved because of the situation, we understand that. But our goal is to get the organization on track. And I'm just a member, and I'm speaking as a member. And I always say we because an organization is a we. It's not a us. It's not a I. It's not a me. So that's our goal. And hopefully once we're going to go back on track. And once we're back on track, we want everyone to come back. And we want to bring in new members.
It's going to go back on track. Like sooner or later, the me, Sheldon will be gone. The one thing that really ticked me off, did you see the posting that he put on Facebook about the MAG petitions and the AR classification? Those petitions, from my understanding, were supposed to be submitted to the safety minister once they're all done and then submitted through Parliament as an act of Parliament. And he's putting up now that he wants everybody to contact the MPs, and he wants it all brought up at the Senate meetings right now going on about the common sense firearm regulations. So
We had a really good thing going when all that petition stuff started up. And then all of a sudden, Sean got canned, and then the whole NFA just imploded on itself. And then all that got thrown up into limbo, and it's just, it's been a gong show ever since. Well, and it's too bad, because they had a really great plan.
It was excellent.
One thing I will say about Sean, when he's at the organization, and I've met Sean just recently and had some talks with him. He had a vision for firearms, and he and I would have been a great position, George, if it had been handled right and submitted the way what I knew it was to be submitted by a member of Parliament, so that they had 45 days to respond to the petition.
Well, was that not Sean's baby?
It was Sean, and he's met. And so the goal was to have it submitted to a member by a member of Parliament, yeah. So it has to be responded to. And this post that you're talking about, I do, from what I know, that was never the intention of how it was supposed to be handled.
You don't want to be harassing the senators and your MPs right now when they're in the middle of voting on throwing something in at the last minute. Like that should have been put on the table in the very beginning.
Now, the problem was that that was posted, but a lot of people were asking, they didn't know what they were supposed to respond to, what they were supposed to say, what the amendments were, or people just didn't know, right?
No, he was just making a blind stab to get people to do it.
Right.
Where, there was a structure, there was a form before. Now he's panicking and he's telling people to contact people. And he didn't speak very highly of the Common Act legislation either, in common sense. He's been quoted as saying a few negative things about it. So now doing a 360 and asking us to contact our MPs and senators, I just find it strange.
Well, I think at some point this is all going to get ironed out. I do know that there, what I've been reading online in that as well, is that a lot of people have been waiting to see what was going to be happening at the AGM before they actually were going to be renewing their membership in that as well. So,
see, I was kind of critical of Sean because I was getting a little sick and tired of all his negative posts, and this was in the very beginning. And I even responded a couple times to him, and we had a bit of a back and forth going. And I've been kind of just sitting on the sidelines, just waiting to see what would happen at the AGM. And if there's bylaws in place, and the membership has a way of, I don't know what the bylaws are, so I'm speculating here, I'm assuming here, actually, for motions to be brought to have Sheldon removed, that's what I was waiting for. Have that happen, have him removed, and then I was going to look at renewing my membership. And now, after seeing the way Sheldon, just in that video alone and a little few clips, little blurbs I've read on Facebook, I'm not taking Sean's side, but I'm joining the Sheldon needs to step down group. I haven't said that yet, because I wanted to wait for this, but after seeing the last couple days and then Sheldon's got to go. The NFA will die with Sheldon at the helm.
Yeah, Sheldon's asked me not to message him anymore.
You know, and George, to your fact, so many members came out. The it was over 100 there to voice their opinion. And when we put the motions out, when you looked around the room, all the motions were carried forward for change. Unfortunately, a certain group of the executive would not accept these motions. And that speaks to the character of people, in my opinion, that when you have a group of people asking you for change, and it's an organization, again, I'm going to go back and beat on the member word, member organization, you, if you're an executive in the position, you want to respect your members. That's why you're there, to represent them. I think, Tom, you've been in a lot of organizations over the years. Is that what not an organization supposed to be?
And the organization has a protocol, like you said, the Roberts Rules of Business, that is supposed to be followed. And if they're properly followed, the directors or the people who think they're in charge have no authority to disregard those rules. It all depends what's in the NFA rules, if it allows for members to come forward and things to change like that. But I haven't read the rules, so I don't know what legal standing the group has. But then again, there is an ongoing court battle, so we can't really discuss that part.
No. But when we presented these motions, and I presented a motion, we had with us a barrister, Pierre Plourde, who's a firearms owner, a concerned NA member. And so the group that was working on this to get back the members' voice, they had really done their homework. So this was the opportunity, this should have been the members' opportunity to have change made. And unfortunately, a group of directors chose to ignore the voice of the members. And we didn't even have the ability to utilize our proxies. We didn't need to, because by the show of support in that hall, over 100 people, for these motions to be carried, just showed that this is what the membership wanted. And it's a sad day when you have an organization that has a leadership that doesn't listen to its members. It's a very sad day. And George, I can understand that, being the Gong Show and seeing it like that, there's so much emotion by the membership wanting to have their voice heard, that with anything with passion, people with passion become even more passionate when their voice is ignored. And yeah. I think that's what you see in the video, unless you were really there. And I looked at the videos myself and I said, wow, because when you were there, the passion of the members for this organization and for firearms rights, talking to them, and there were people from all across Canada. I met people from Alberta, BC, Nova Scotia, Quebec, where it was held. It really showed that as firearms owners, there is a great passion to protect our rights. And hopefully we will get this organization back on track.
Well, the passion's been building for a while because of social media. There's so much on there. and we're all friends with the same group of people. So we all know the directors that are involved. We all know a lot of members that are involved, and it's been building for months. So I'm not surprised that you had such a huge outpouring at the AGM and so many people show up for it, because this has really been on people's minds.
And I will tell you, after we were finished the meeting, the amount of Facebook traffic from members that we received positively was very encouraging. The personal messages we received for going there, thanking members, people with their proxies, you know, and then there's so many other people that aren't members that started to come into the fold. We've sold new members joining, but until we get this going in the right direction, the membership's voice heard again, you know, I understand people not wanting to be an NFA member till it's resolved. And we'd ask you to join us, because every voice when we go to ballot that can be counted is important to make change when the election comes in November.
Well, I guess we'll see what happens then. Hopefully things go for change, and I hope Tracy gets active and decides to get involved. Mm-hmm. I think she'd be a great role model for the women, especially the new shooters. Mm-hmm.
The membership will have their voice in November, yeah. Right? Yeah.
Yeah, it'll bounce back. It'll bounce back.
Mm-hmm. You know, and talking to Tracy, I'm not a hunter, and being new to shooting sports, I'm going to learn my hunting skills from Tracy. So she's going to take me out and show me how to hunt the right way.
No, is what okay. I was told, we talking so. Showing you how to drink or how to hunt?
Well, you know, I'm not sure this hunting thing, because I've heard conflicting stories. It's hunting or it's how to drink, and I'm not sure. I'm sure I'll learn both there. We'll see.
When I started, it was how to drink and then how to recover the next day while you're hunting.
Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah.
Long time ago. Yeah. There was something else that you mentioned, John, that I wanted to touch on, and I forget what it was. There was something else we were talking about before we started the show. I don't remember what it was. Old age. It's creeping in.
I'm not sure. I'm not really sure. Kalib Quebecara.
That's what it was.
Yeah. You know, I had the little moment there. I couldn't even remember the name now.
So John is helping Jazz put out, what's the official name of the radio station now? The
official name is Calibre Quebec Radio. And I wish I had a more francophone accent, but unfortunately I don't. With the help of people in the background, such as podcasters like yourself, Toby from the Armed Squirrels Project, you put out there that there was a voice required in French Canada for shooting sports. So with some gentle prodding and persuasion from certain key people.
And pushing.
Thomas
and pushing Facebook postings. And we decided, I reached out to Jazz and I said, hey, Jazz, I may be an Anglophone. I grew up in Quebec. But I think it's important that we have something out there like New Shooter Canada. Because, George, before you came on, we were talking. And for me, even before I got into shooting sports, I stumbled onto your podcast. So I started listening to it. And I said, maybe shooting sports are something I want to do. And then I said, maybe I'll try cowboy shooting, because that's really what you were talking about. So I started to go down this journey to actually be involved in cowboy shooting. And
oh, no way.
Yeah, it was a journey. I went to a couple cowboy shoots to look at it, because you had said, go check it out. It's really cool, single action. And so I went and checked it out, and that's really what started my journey to firearms ownership.
And you found out how boring it really was, eh?
Oh, shush.
I'm not going to comment at this point. I'm not actively involved in that segment yet. I planned to be. I rushed out and I heard George talking about reloading his 45 long Colt. So being the type of person I said, I'm going to have to reload. So I rushed out and bought everything to reload 38 Special 357 Magnum. Unfortunately, I don't own a 357 Magnum nor a 38 Special at this time.
But I will go
out to cowboy shooting. So back to that, what started this journey? And then Thomas, you introduced me to Jazz. And Jazz and I started talking and emailing on Facebook, and then hearing about Jazz on other podcasts and your Appleseed and attending and hearing about it really drove me even more into it to say, you know what? New Shooter Canada does a great job. Slam Fire Radio, Modern Mifeman Radio, which is a cross North American podcast, to me said we need to do something for Quebec. And so I worked with Jazz, and we're going to go back on. We've been recording, sharpening our skills before we launch our podcast would be the thing to say. And My intention is to get Jazz up and work with Jazz to get going, and our goal is to bring as many areas of the sport to the program and push firearms ownership in Quebec and give them a voice, because having been to Quebec this weekend, I really thought from what I saw in Ontario how we were treated by the CFO was repressive, and to be in Quebec, yeah. Wow.
It's so important, I personally believe, for French Canada to have a pro-gun French radio show, because most of Canada don't realize what the Quebecers have to go through. The CFO in Quebec makes Wyatt look like a nice guy. It's just
ouch.
Jump, oh yeah, and I'm being kind. Just speak to Jazz what they have to do for IPSC and for qualification.
IPSC is a crazy thing. You have your ATT, so we'll be able to carry our firearm, our pistol, to the range to go do IPSC. Nope, that's not the case. You have to join the Quebec Federation of Shooters to get a special card, which is not even an ATT, to participate in IPSC.
So, and you have to take another safety course, and if you don't renew that within the year, you have to take the safety course all over again.
Yeah, that's la loi neuf.
Yeah.
And if you miss your one day of paying, like you just said, Thomas, you start over again.
And that's how can they get away with this?
It's just being there. It's just the way it is. As an example, the members want to put back the long gun registry, all the members, provincial members of parliament. And if you look at the firearms owners, 100% voted to put it back in, I was told this weekend. And I've said 100%. I just don't understand how that is possible.
100% of the politicians.
Politicians. And yeah. When you talk to the actual people, in Quebec, it's the second largest, and don't quote me on this, they're the second largest ownership group of firearms in Canada.
That's why I feel it's important, because it's just a very few people in Montreal that are controlling everything for the firearm owners. And there's a huge number of gun owners in Quebec, and it's important that they get active and have their voice heard.
Okay.
Because ever since the polytechnical shooting, they've been just putting the screws to them, and shooters have to get out there and be heard. It's important.
And one of the people putting the voice out there is Claude Coguin, and his unfortunately his sister was killed in the polytechnic shooting, and he's a very strong voice for firearms ownership in Quebec. And I apologize if I didn't pronounce the last name correctly, but having met the gentleman, a very passionate gentleman for the firearms ownership and a great voice in Quebec for the right to trying to protect the rights of the firearms owners.
Oh, yeah, you don't hear the Coalition for Gun Control interviewing him, do you?
No. No, so yeah, it's important to be out there. And so, and here's the funny thing. We were talking about this podcast, and George, I've heard you say you don't understand French. Toby tells me he listens to it. But doesn't understand French. I don't get that. He's like, John, I listen to it all the time. And I'm like, do you understand anything? I understand the word gun, bang, pow. You know, target, nine. He knows it's a 9mm. And so part of our mission is not only for French Canada, we're going to have a little roundup after every French broadcast in English for Jazz's friends across North America. And
that's a good idea.
Well, that's our goal. We're going to hopefully come out shortly with it. Like you said, you gentlemen and yourself, Kelly, know the challenges of putting together a podcast. And I'm learning very quickly the challenges of getting one out. And there's a lot of work involved. And well, thank you for your dedication, honestly, listener, for putting out a podcast.
Well, that's why one of the reasons I wanted to get a third person, and I especially wanted to get Kelly involved, because for two people, that's a lot of work. And you're recovering a lot of the material over again, and then you've got
right.
Reload Radio, and you've got Brian and Ken. You got to be careful what you do, because you're even though we're in three different parts of the country, we're all interacting with what we're talking about, what we're sharing. So I thought it was important to actually have a woman's perspective as a new shooter on the show, and with Kelly, it makes things a lot easier on us, because now you just lose a third of the work. Things get shifted around, and it's great having an extra person throw off ideas and give you input.
Just going to say, even before we got our first show out with Kelly, she was already, okay, what about this? What about this? What about this? What about this? I'm like, yep.
Excellent. Check. Oh, I like it.
Like good. Survey, the Facebook survey was all Kelly. I thought it was an absolutely brilliant idea. That was awesome.
We can see what everybody wants to for us to cover, right? Get some input from everybody, and on that. And I think that it's great to have not just two people, but a third person or a fourth person to give ideas and just because, you know, if you've been doing it especially for a while, you haven't, maybe you're coming up with something new, a different perspective, something that you guys have never thought about before. And I think you actually probably have thought about some of these ideas, but I'm just coming up with them again. And you're thinking, yeah, that was something that was probably a good idea, and we'll do it.
Yeah, it's nice getting a different perspective, especially from a female as well, too.
Yep.
And we're all different. We all have different political and social and religious things, but we all have one common ground with new shooting and what shooters have to go through in Canada.
Well, and I will say, as a listener, listening to Kelly on the first episode, it was like a seamless fit. Like she'd always been part of the show. It was really good. Yeah, it was like there was energy.
I think a large part of that was the Appleseed. Because we all kind of met and got to know each other a bit at the Appleseed, and you know, it's hard not to get to know somebody a little bit when you're spending 16 hours over a course of 2 days, right? So
yeah,
I even got to hug Kelly. That was nice too.
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
It was nice.
Let's move on.
No, but I'm thinking that's the one nice thing, like you were saying about the Appleseed. Like, you became really close to. I met a lot of really nice people. People that you talk to on Facebook, and you finally meet, so you sort of have that personal connection right away. Were they cute? Yeah, a couple, yeah.
Well, I will tell you from Jazz's perspective, having talking with him a lot lately, that he thought it was the best thing to meet all the different people from all across the States and Canada there. He talks about all the great people he met at your Appleseed, and hopefully we're going to be able to replicate that at the Mapleseed and spread it across Canada.
Are you going to the Mapleseed, John?
I am going to be there. Awesome. I signed up after listening to you, George. Right after I listened to you and Toby and Sticks and Tom and I and Jazz sending me messages and talking about it and nonstop, that I said, you know what, I need to get out to Mapleseed and really experience what everyone's talking about so positively and become a better shooter. As a new shooter, my rifle skills are nowhere where they need to be. So I think it's a great opportunity to learn the history of Canada that unfortunately we don't hear so much about.
Well, not even as a new shooter, just even like an old timer like me. I haven't shot prone since I was 14 or 15. I forget everything that I learned when I was in the Air Cadets. And the first day was tough. The second day I got into my group. But even for an experienced shooter, you're going to pick up some really good skills.
And one thing I did learn from George is I have bought the biggest bottle of Tylenol I can find.
I was just going to say the first day was hell for me. Second day was great because I was medicated.
Tylenol with codeine and Advil, as I recall.
Well, I'm not going to admit to the codeine because I'm not supposed to bring
you
that.
You can get the good drugs down there, right?
No, we couldn't.
No,
we're not supposed to bring it in.
I brought the good drugs in.
Oh,
I forgot I had a bottle of Tylenol 1s, and they searched my car too.
Really?
Yeah, I had a bottle of Tylenol 1s. I was like halfway to Sarnia, and I was like, oh, crap, what do I do with these? I'm like, oh, well, cross my fingers, hope for the best.
Did you get
in the secondary, I'm like, oh, this is going to be fun.
Did you make it through the leaving in secondary? Did you have to go through secondary when you were leaving? Or
no, just when just I came away. Back. No, when I came back, I had my firearms license already in my passport.
Okay, good.
And I just handed it all to him and told him I have a rifle in the car with me.
So did you have a hard time crossing the border with your firearms? It's one of the things I was wondering. Was it a hard process to cross the border?
No. I got pulled into secondary because...
That was American Customs, right?
Yeah, American side. Talk about a gong show when it comes to paper. I faxed my Form 6 in. They never had it. I'm sitting in Sarnia in my work truck. And the guy's like, well, fax it again right now. I'm like, yeah, I'm sitting in a truck. Where am I going to fax it from? So I took a picture of each page with my cell phone and emailed it to him. I don't know what he did, but he took those pictures, printed them off, but they only showed up on half an 8x10 page. And he filled out the forms that way and then emailed them back to me. So when I printed them off, I got a full page, half of it's blank, and then like a reduced image size of the picture that I took.
But it was still nice of him.
the guy in the blur looked, and he goes,
I don't know what to do.
I think this will work, but I'm sending you inside and let them figure it out. And I'm like, yeah, it doesn't surprise me. Went inside, and the guy's looking at the paperwork. He looks at me. I'm like, dude, I'd take a picture of it with my phone. What can I say?
I had more of a hard time leaving the States coming into Canada with the guns. I found the Americans the Americans were great. I showed them my, had everything ready, my license, my Form 6, my invitation. They said, where are you going? It's an Appleseed. What is it? I said, well, it's a U.S. History Marksmanship course. And how many guns did you bring in? I said, just my 22 rifle. Any handguns? I said, no, you can't bring handguns into Michigan. Good answer. True. But I got the third degree coming out. They just still didn't search the car. Mm-hmm. But the I thought he was going to for a second there.
I went down to SIG, and I went to the border. And the gentleman said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to SIG Academy. He took my passport. He scanned it. He said, have a great day. He didn't even ask me when I had firearms. But I experienced what you did, Tom, coming back. I got to the border, and I had the third degree. You don't have no bullets in your car. You don't have any firearms. You don't have this. You don't have that. It was so easy going into the States. I didn't have any firearms with me because I was using one of their pistols. But coming back into Canada, it was the third degree to get across the border because that's where I was.
It was funny, too, because he said, when I'm going through, he goes, so where is the gun now? I said, well, it's in the back of the car. He goes, where specifically in the back of the car? I said, well, it's the driver's side, my side, right at the very back. And he said, and it's the case is locked and trigger locked? And I said, yes, sir. And it wasn't. It was non-restricted. I wasn't putting a trigger lock or case on it. I had no trigger lock and the case wasn't locked. I just said, yes, sir. He said, good. That was it. But he automatically thought that gun was supposed to be locked and encased.
Well, yeah, when I crossed, I gave him my passport. My license was already in there. And he asked me, like, if I had a firearm. So I said, yeah, I got a rifle. And he asked me where it was. I said, it's in the back. And he's like, okay. And then the standard questions, are you bringing any alcohol, tobacco, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. And the rest is just kind of white noise. Yes, sir, no, sir, yes, sir, no, sir.
We actually had a really easy time getting across to the States. We just pulled up and everything was, you know how Kevin is. Anyways, everything was in a binder that was photocopied and collated and everything.
That's true. I think I saw it.
The guy at the border just went, really? And he went through it and he goes, okay. Sorry. And he hands it back and he goes, okay. He says, thank you and have a good day. And
that's a great idea, though.
Off we went. And no, Kevin is super organized and he knows the laws and everything like that. So, but when we were coming back, it was the same thing. Again, he handed him the cases were right there in his view as well. So he goes, well, I know you have firearms. So what do you got? And so we told him what we have. Here's the ATTs. Here's the invites. Here's where we were.
My binder.
So yeah, here's my binder. And he goes, he didn't want to really talk about that. He just wanted to talk about if we had bought anything, what we bought, if we bought any anything. He wanted to know if we had bought anything.
Any ammo?
No, he didn't want to talk about ammo. He wanted to talk about anything to make firearms.
Oh, parts.
Oh, really?
Like parts, right?
Interesting.
You know, we had a guy come around with a flashlight and have a look in the back and all that. But nope, they didn't actually send us a secondary. They just kept wanting to know if we had any purchased any parts. And nope, we don't. Any magazines?
Oh, yeah.
Any high capacity magazines? Nope, none of those. And they're going, okay. And they said, thank you very much. And so it took us probably about 3 minutes compared to the 30 seconds that it took us to get across into the States. Yeah. But yeah, so it was kind of the third degree, but they didn't ask us to pull over. So yeah, they wanted to know if it was any parts, but also high capacity magazines, right?
And they never asked people about magazines or anything. They just want to know what it was and if I bought any ammo and then alcohol.
It's where Kevin slaps it into drive and screams Wolverine. Wolverine!
Yeah. No, they didn't even ask us if we had any cigarettes, any alcohol or anything like that. They just wanted to know about the high capacity
These two
magazines.
look like gun runners. That's
Any
questionable.
illegal aliens strapped to the bottom of your vehicle?
I was listening to the Armed Squirrels Project, and I heard Sticks, they're having a challenge coming to Canada now as American firearms owners. Their governments have changed some regulations, so.
Yes, they mentioned that. I didn't get the full detail. There's another layer of paperwork they want them to get.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't listened
I saw that too.
to. There was a new law introduced about taking firearms out of the U.S., and I heard it on another show, and it's becoming a problem for sports shooters and hunters. It's going to be coming out, leaving the states with their firearms. They've put another level of bureaucracy in between.
Now, is it in effect or is it still
I believe
in
it's in
process?
effect right now.
Okay.
You know what I find interesting is, like, that makes no sense to me. What do you care what's leaving your country? It's leaving your country. Who cares?
Well, they're
So,
usually more concerned what's coming into the country.
exactly. Like, when I'm hearing you guys say that, well, the Canadian side gave me the third degree, blah, 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 I'm like, that's great. No offense to the ones to you guys. Fantastic. Although Kelly admittedly said it took her 3 minutes, so I'm not sure how much of a third degree 3 minutes is, but
No.
it's all context, right? But
Yeah.
that I want to hear. I want to hear people having a hard time getting into my country. Like you, when you're leaving Sarnia, give me your $3.50, and we don't care what's in your vehicle because it ain't our problem. It's the other side's problem now.
Yeah, that's basically what it is.
So
You
I'm not.
paid your toll going across the bridge.
Yeah, so I'm not sure what the American government would care about their citizens entering a foreign nation with guns. You would think Obama would be like, good, take them all with you. Like, I don't get it. I haven't heard of the episode, so I'm kind of talking out of my butt a bit because I have no idea what this thing is. But on the surface, that makes no sense. They're leaving your country. Who cares what's in the vehicle? But I don't know. It's unfortunate for them. That sucks.
We have listener email since there's this dead silence for a second there.
Well,
was
I was
just gonna
just gonna say, did I
say.
lose everybody? You want me to read the email since I'm kind of new to the show?
Okay.
Sure.
Now,
Okay,
before you read this, we're going to disclaim that
Yes, please.
we want no responsibility over this. Do not try this at home. This is his idea.
This is
Yeah.
from listener Mike, and Mike, I read the email. I get the emails. The emails come to my phone. And I read this and I'm like scratching my head going, okay, not really sure, but okay. But you know what? I appreciate the email. We all do. So I'm going to read the email. I do not endorse this email in any shape, form, or way. Do not blow up your guns. And with that being said, here we go. Hello, all. I conducted, and he's got in quotes, controlled experiment that I thought you could fit into a topic. You may dabble, sorry, laptop's far, a little far from my old eyes. You may dabble in at some point, or it could be a safety tip for any new shooter or experienced. So this is basically an email of what not to do. Reloading has always sparked my interest and the science of the metallurgical strength of a firearm as age sets in. I may work in telecommunications, however, I do work part-time for a company who makes things that go into space. And then in brackets, that's all I can say about that. Dun dun dun. So I have a lot of equipment and test facilities at my disposal. I decided to see how much damage a 22. Okay, again, don't do this at home. Mike, I don't even think you should be doing this, but again, to each their own. I decided to see how much damage a 22 long rifle cartridge would do if it were overcharged with powder. Because, we all sit around the house thinking, I wonder what would happen if we ram more powder in. I heard rumors that a company, I shall leave nameless, had a recall for this situation a short while back.
No.
Is that true? I never
Oh
heard
yeah,
anything
I had a
about
gun blow up. Continue with this letter. I
that. Okay.
actually had a gun blow up.
Well, that's not good. Okay, anonymous chinchilla. Don't mess with my show notes. The firearm that was used was a Mossberg single-shot 22 long rifle made by Lakefield. Approximate age, 1970s. So not fresh, 36 grain per... Okay, grammar here, Mike, grammar. So not fresh. Oh, there's a period. Sorry, Mike. 36 grain projectile, double charge, Remington Thunderbolt brand. Needless to say, the damage deactivated me. I think you got autocorrect problems. The bolt came apart in two pieces and was thrown clear of the carrier. The extractor was blown into three pieces. The breech was blown completely out of the extractor ramp and complete case separation occurred. This was only a 22 long rifle. If it had been a larger caliber that is common for reloading, I can only imagine the injuries that could happen from such a mistake, especially if it were fired by hand. Now that I have done the repairs to fix the firearm myself, machined a new bolt, re-engineered the extractor, and got a new barrel so she's up again, but I have learned to respect the reloading bench and to always double check for double charging. Have a great day all, and thank you for the great podcast. You're welcome, Mike. Michael, enclosed are pictures of the new bolt and extractor. That's pretty cool that he's got like milling machines and all that sort of stuff at his disposal to make this stuff. I'll put the pictures. Something funky happened with my phone trying to download them, so I got the pictures, but I did screenshot them. So.
Well, I wonder if it cost him more to rebuild it than to actually buy another little 22 Lakefield bolt-action rifle.
Now, Tom, you and I were kind of mentioning this when when we were talking about the email, and I know it's possible to reload 22s, but who reloads 22s?
Michael does.
Yeah, Michael, apparently he does. I heard it's possible. When I first moved out here, there was a guy that was working at the Kevin's, it was fishing and hunting store in Bowenville, and he actually reloaded his own 22 long rifle. He's double charging, but double charging of what? Was he using the same powder? I'm not sure what kind of powder would go into 22.
Yeah.
So is he, what is he doing? Is he taking the projectile off and
he's taking just a couple projectiles apart and using the powder from one projectile to put into the other.
Right.
Okay, Mike, you got us intrigued. What are you doing with this reloading? You got to email us back. Send us some pictures of your reloading. I'd love to see how to reload a 22. As the primers, you got to put the primer in, but how do you get the primer into the head of the casing?
You'd have to compress it. If you're doing a double charge, I'm not sure how much powder actually goes into a 22. It's a very tiny case.
Yeah, no
so
idea.
If you're gonna double charge, you might be doing a compressed load too.
If you accept this mission, this is your mission. Send us pictures of your reloading, your 22 reloading. I'm curious.
I don't think that is he going to be doing more of double loading on a 22.
Well, I wouldn't recommend it.
Double load.
Not on purpose.
He's not. He says he respects the reloading process and what the damage it can do, so I'm not sure that he's going to do it again.
Peer pressure.
I've heard of severe damage from double-charged center fires. I can just imagine.
Yeah.
Well, website. Sorry, Thomas. Oh, sorry. Go ahead. Finish.
I was going to say, when he said that there's rumors about a company that shall leave nameless.
I looked it up.
Was that federal?
It was federal. Federal. Yeah, it was federal.
Oh, they actually, I just looked it up, and there is also some Winchester M22.
Yeah, that's I've heard horror stuff about that. I bought some Federal Lightning probably about 15 years ago. No, 2003, because I got the letter downstairs from their customer service rep. It's not that they double-charged the powder. They filled the case with a priming compound, which is an explosive. It literally blew the extractor right off my 10-22, it was a Ruger Mark II pistol with a bull barrel, and it literally destroyed the whole inside of the gun. I had to get the magazine out. I had to use a pair of pliers to yank out the magazine, and every single cartridge was bent on a 45 all the way down the magazine. So I'm just lucky I didn't pay
for that damage.
Federal did.
Did they?
Yeah, big time.
That's cool.
I'm just glad I didn't have a massive detonation. And the only thing that saved me is it was the wintertime, so I had, you know, those gloves with the cutout fingers. So when I fired this thing, you ever take a baseball bat and hit a concrete post when you're a kid? how the vibrations travel. Oh, it hurts. Try it. Take a baseball bat and hit a cement post and see as hard as you can and see what happens to your hand.
Yeah, let's not.
That's what it felt like. And I put my one hand away from the gun, and the grips just disintegrated in about 20 pieces. It just trashed it.
That's really scary. Being this, that's one thing. I watched a video once, and it was talking about firearms design and how they're designed, the safety design that goes into them. So if there's a catastrophic failure, they're designed to blow away from the shooter. Well, wow. I'm a left-handed shooter that shoots right-handed rifles, and that's one thing that always has is in the back of my mind, is that the way these things are designed is that it's going to blow pretty much right into my face.
Yeah, if you're shooting it left-handed, it could.
Yeah, because I got everything right there in front of my face, right?
Because I think, yeah, most of my center fire is the exhaust valve or the exhaust hole in case of a blowout. It's on the right-hand side.
Mm-hmm. Because a right-hand shooter, it's going to blow away from them, right? With me, it's going to blow right across my face.
Well, when this blew, it blew out all the pressure through the trigger guard. So my trigger finger got toasted.
Singed.
They got singed,
right?
Big time.
Was it like singed well done or medium?
It was medium. It was I couldn't shoot for about a month.
That's really scary when you think about it. And I know I'm kind of being a bit of a butthead joking and laughing about it, but that's scary stuff.
Well, when I took it home to inspect it for damage, because I considered the chamber might be damaged or whatever, and I was on my hands and knees for an hour looking at what was left of this casing, and I couldn't find it. So I decided to just put a cleaning rod through the barrel, and a little bit of the casing was still left in the chamber. Like, we're talking a couple of millimeters was left of the casing. Everything else had vaporized.
Wow.
So I sent it to Federal. The barrel was still together, and the receiver was still intact. Everything else had to be replaced. They paid for shipping to Ruger. They paid for all the Ruger repairs. They paid for the return shipping. And then they gave me $75 US for my inconvenience to buy more ammo.
Wow.
So it was quite nice of them.
That's impressive. So before we go into the survey, one more quick little quip about reloading. It's more funny than anything else. On our webpage, I think I have my YouTube channel linked there, and there's a video of, I can't remember what it's called, but it's like first time shooting reloads or first reloads or something. And I'm joking around, getting ready to shoot. I think I'm shooting it out of my ranch hand. And I'm joking around about, you know, I hope this doesn't blow up my face. My youngest daughter is videoing it. And as I'm joking around, you can see her starting to walk away from me as I'm getting ready to shoot. It's the funniest thing. I'm like, no, sweetheart, it's okay. It's not really going to blow up, I don't think. So, if anyone's interested, I don't know what other, it's been so long since I've actually looked at my YouTube, so I don't know what other videos are on there, but it was kind of funny.
Well, he's lucky.
He's
like, you know, looking at the picture of the bolt, he's lucky he didn't get hurt.
Standing
beside that, because that's I believe that's a Cooey 39. It's a single shot or repeater. So that bolt is just held in, there's a pin and a spring in there. So the pressure must have been phenomenal to separate that pin and break the spring to have the back of the bolt. He said it broke into three pieces.
Yeah, but he also said it's in a controlled, he conducted a controlled experiment. So I'm guessing he probably had it set up in some sort of stand or something.
I wonder if he does it like the, who are those guys, Mythbusters? They have their screen from a safe distance and deflector shields and all the safety equipment when he did it.
But he does pull the trigger with a string.
And they pull it with a string.
Because that's scientific.
Well, that's what Guns and Ammo
TV. That's a little Bugs Bunny.
Guns and Ammo TV used to do that. They'd take a gun, they'd fill the barrels full of mud to see what would happen, and they'd get behind this big steel concrete bunker and pull the string and watch the gun get destroyed.
Well, it's quite interesting. I thought it was actually quite interesting to see the damage that it could do. And it's just a .22 long rifle, right?
When you watch those YouTube videos of catastrophic failures, it really makes you think about it every time you pull the trigger. It does for me, you know, like that. I hope nothing ever happens like that in my sport shooting career.
When I'm reloading, I got this powder throw, and it's like, I think it was like built by the original gun makers of the 1800s. The thing's so old, but it works. And I got to turn the knob three times to get my desired grains. And, you know, I do not do this at home, but sometimes, you know, I like to have a nice cold one while I'm reloading. And if ever there's any doubt, I just dump it back in the top and 1, 2, 3. And
start it again.
Yeah. And then I'll take a light and I just shine the light over. I only do 50 at a time, and I got a single stage, so I only do 50 at a time and shine the light over and look. And I like my guns too much to have them blow up on me. And I kind of like my fingers in my face.
Yeah, yeah, I've heard of a few amputees.
So, hey, I hear we have a survey on our website, or on our Facebook page. Wait, now.
We do. So, last week's survey was, why do you go to the range? So we actually wanted to say thanks to everybody for taking the time and actually filling it out. But especially to Kyle Marconi, he noticed that we were missing one of the most important reasons why we go to the range, and that's relaxation. Yes. And so, and Thomas said that too, right? You said that's one of the reasons why you go.
I find it very relaxing.
I thought he said to get away from your significant other.
Well, that one too.
Well, okay. Well, that one too. But yeah, thanks to Kyle for pointing that out. But I'll give you the, when you took the survey, you could actually do more than just one thing that you go to the range for. So the highest was practice and to increase accuracy. We got 94.7% of everybody who responded said that that's what they do. Also, sighting and rifles for hunting was 26.3%. Participate in courses and competitions, so IPSC and precision rifle, cowboy action, so 73.7%. Skeet was actually pretty low. It was only 21.1%.
Sorry, Jason.
So I socialized with your gun cronies was 47.4%, which was quite funny because of the fact that the girls that filled it out, we actually, I guess, were sociable. We both said that, plus a couple of other people too. And to get away from your significant other, 15.8%. So, and then there was nobody who said they do all of it. So that was actually pretty interesting. So a lot of people are looking at either participating in courses and competitions, or they're going to go and do practice and increase their accuracy. Right.
Excellent.
Yeah. So good survey. We'll have another one up this week.
Cool. I like it. We got a lot of good response on that one.
Yeah, we had actually a lot of people responding, so that was great.
So, upcoming events. So if you have any upcoming events or shoots, let us know. Email them to the show, and we'll announce them on the show. I did put up, did you change the format?
Yeah, I couldn't see it. I took it down.
So are these June dates?
These are up. Yeah, these are June dates. They're upcoming. Okay. Yeah, so they're upcoming in June. They're in Ontario only, so. I just copied and pasted it so it's a little easier for us to read.
I think it's much easier for these old eyes.
Because Ontario is the center of the universe.
Unterrible.
Okay, so everybody out east or out west, let us know what events are coming up, and that way we won't have Ontario on here.
And Jason, please start sending in your events again. We'll get Kelly to read them. I promise I will not read them.
Well, there are some gun shows coming up in June. The 6th. The Toronto Military Show has that one in Etobicoke, and it's running from 8:30 to 2. And then on the 7th, up in Orangeville, the Gun and Military Show is also having a gun show. And I think we're going to put these links in the show notes, I assume.
Yep.
And then the Hamilton Military Collector Show in Jerseyville is having a show on the 14th. It's also 7:30 to 1. These things start really early in the morning. And then in the Buckhorn Gun Show, I haven't been to that one. Buckhorn Gun Show is Saturday, June the 20th, 7:30 to 1. If you've never been to a Canadian gun show, it's nothing like an American gun show. They're very tiny, almost like a flea market type atmosphere. But if you shop around, sometimes you can find some good deals on some hard-to-find items. And anything else? Shout-outs?
Well, there's a couple more, actually. So Sunday the 21st from 9:30 to 3:30 in Merrickville, you got the Arms Collectors Fair gun show.
Okay.
That one actually would be excellent to go to. That one's near me, so I think I'm going to go to that one. Usually women get into these things free, too, so that's good.
Excellent.
We also have on Saturday the 27th from 7:30 to 1, the Norlin Gun Show in Norlin. One didn't make it on here. It was the Pickering on the 8th of June. It's the Pickering Gun Show. So we'll put the information about that on the link too.
And admittance is usually only $5. Last time it was $5 to get in. It's a lot.
Yeah, they're pretty cheap to get into. Yeah. And you might win something too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. A lot of times they have the draws there where you can actually win a new rifle or something, right?
That'd be excellent.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Shoutouts. Got any shoutouts there, John?
I just want to shout out to all the members that attended the AGM for the NFA. And a shout out to you three for putting out such a great podcast for new shooters. I've learned a lot as a new shooter from the podcast, and I'm going to keep continuing listening to learn new things, because every week there's something always new on this podcast that I don't know or I should know or I'm doing wrong. So thanks for putting it out there for us as new shooters.
Well, you're very welcome.
I do have one thing is, are you all attending the charity shoot in New Brunswick? Or?
Kelly and I will be there.
I'm not. It's looking very doubtful for me.
Are you going to be joining us, John?
I'll be joining you with my great friend Jazz. We'll be making the trip together to New Brunswick. I'm sure it'll be an eventful trip.
Oh, it'll be a party.
We'll see you there.
Okay, that sounds great. Okay. What about you, Thomas? Do you got any
shout-outs? No shout-outs this week. I'm fresh out.
Okay.
Oh, well, actually, my shout-out to John. I'd like to thank John for coming at the last minute. I should actually thank John. I'm just eyeing my cigarettes finger. Man, I could really go for one of those right now. But thank you, John. I appreciate you coming out at the last moment and updating us at the AGM. It's greatly appreciated.
Thank you very much for having me. Thanks for giving me a little practice. It's my first real live podcast. So.
I think you did great.
You did well.
Yep.
Hey. I showed up late, so everyone did better than me this week.
We even heard Kelly swear in the pre-show talk. I was quite impressed.
Oh.
Well, Kelly's probably going to send me her recording so I can get it up, so I'll get to hear her swear.
Yeah, you will. I have a shout-out. I actually was going to be doing a shout-out for both Jazz and John because I was speaking with Jazz on the weekend, and he said they were pretty close to actually getting the podcast up and running, and that John had a big part in that. So I just wanted to say congratulations and that you're almost ready for your first podcast, and I can't wait to hear it. And I won't understand any of it, but I'll get Kevin to translate.
No, there'll be a French an English section. You said.
Oh yeah, that's right.
We're gonna do the Cole's Notes version for all the Jazz's friends in North America, so. English speaking awesome. France.
Excellent.
So Toby can pretend that he understood the whole show when he gets the notes at the end, right?
I am still amazed that when I talk to him that he actually listens to the whole episode in French.
He does. He does. And he likes it.
Yeah. Do we know, is Jazz going down to Ohio in September?
He said that he was going to be, but I don't know if he confirmed or not.
Oh, okay. Cool. Because I won't, I'm pretty sure I'm not going to make the charity shoot, but love to be able to see him again. He was a blast.
Well, apparently they have a holster for you, George.
I know. Red, did you see the pictures on Facebook? Red posted it up. He said the wife's going to let me use it.
The pink one, right?
Yep.
Okay. The pink holster. Well, it's a concealed carry holster, so nobody's going
to
see it.
To go with my pink gun.
Your pink gun. Yep.
Oh.
And your pink heels.
Yeah, my pink heels. I'm not sure how I got roped into that one.
You said yes.
Yeah, I know. I wasn't really paying attention to Facebook because I was, you know, kind of trying to work, but, you know, it's all good.
Yeah.
What was I going to say?
You're going to do a shout out, but...
Yes. Email the show if you're interested in new Shooter Canada swag. Right now, I'm just trying to get an idea of the number of people that would be interested, and then I can put something together as far as like a catalog. Again, it's an embroidered logo, so she's got the image on file and can stick it on pretty much any type of clothing you may be interested in. So email the show if you're interested in getting something, and then I'll put a catalog together in June.
Okay, sounds great.
Sounds good.
And I bought my washing machine this weekend, so that means the pink gun is now being budgeted for.
Excellent. Oh, did you guys see actually the Disney princess gun that I posted?
The bling
on?
One that looked like the
blinged out.
Yes. No, I missed that.
That was horrible. It was a scary sight for a sober man. I'm telling you, it was all...
That's why I
bedazzled, is it? Or bejeweled?
It's bedazzled. Bedazzled, yeah. Anyways.
But your daughter would love it.
Yeah, she probably would. Okay.
George.
I'm done. I said my bit.
We're done? All right.
Are you not following along in the show notes?
I'm waiting for you to do your ending.
Oh, my exit. That might be good.
Do your Ron Burgundy.
Until next time, stay cool. What is it? San Diego? Be cool, yeah. San Diego?
Oh, are you trying? No, you're not Ron Burgundy.
No. Oh. Take a kid shooting.
Then keep your barrels pointed downrange and shooting.
And I got to come up with something, right?
You don't have to.
Sure, come up with something. Okay.
How about keep calm and aim straight?
Perfect. And John?
Excellent.
Keep the lead flying.
Good night, everybody.
There you go. Good night.
Cheers.
Night.
Thank you for taking the time and listening to our show. Our audience is important to us, and we encourage our listeners to contact the show with feedback, suggestions, or questions that you may have. You can contact the guys at hosts@newshootercanada.ca. And please like our Facebook page. Thanks for listening, and have a groovy day.
God made the animals, and God made the trees. God made you, well, hell, he even made me. He gave me this voice so I could be a singer. So you tell me why I've got a trigger finger. I like guns, I like the way they look. I like the shiny steel and the polished wood. I don't care if they're big or small. They're for sale, well, I want them all. I like guns, I like guns, I like guns. I like guns, I like guns, I like guns.